Good morning. Our text this morning is in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. James 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people! Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Let us pray. Our righteous Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen. So last week we considered that James has described two different kinds of wisdom to us. We read about at the end of the last chapter. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. All right, so that's the first type of wisdom, this false wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And he describes another type. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, over the next few readings in James, he's going to focus on these types of wisdom. He's going to force us to question what kind of wisdom we live by. And it's obvious if we call ourselves Christian what kind of wisdom we ought to live by, the wisdom that comes from above. But you look at the way that James is writing in today's reading in chapter 4. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Who's he talking to? Who's you in this chapter? Well, who's he writing this letter to? He's addressed it to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, that is, the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad, people whom he calls his brothers in the opening of this letter. He's talking to believers. He's talking to Christians. These are Christians, and they still struggle with these things. They still struggle with being ensnared in the wisdom that is earthly and unspiritual and demonic, even though ostensibly they know better. They're living according to jealousy and selfish ambition. They're following the wisdom of demons, motivated by their own passions, their own base desires, which lead them into sin. Just as James wrote earlier in the letter in chapter 1, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? By his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." James tells us in today's reading that God gave us the breath of life, the spirit that dwells in us, so that our hearts can be pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. He gave us life to be friends with us. In today's reading, James talks about friendship and enmity. God gave us the spirit of life in us to be friends with us, for us to be friends with him. But our hearts go after other loves. And you look at the way that James describes it. Right, to say that it's dangerous is an understatement. He says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Or try to wrap your head around that phrase, enmity with God. Think about that one for a minute. You make yourself an enemy of God. It's almost inconceivable how horrifying that prospect is, to become an enemy of the all-powerful, eternal creator of the universe. It should be all the motive that we need to get straight as far as our wisdom is concerned. Right, are we going to live according to jealousy and selfish ambition, or are we going to live according to purity and peace and gentleness and all of the other things that James named at the end of chapter 3? Again, this prospect of becoming enemies of God ought to be all the motive we need. That's not the only enmity that James describes in our reading today. That's not the only enmity that is caused by our sinful desires. In fact, James spends almost, at least as much of today's reading talking about the enmity that earthly wisdom creates between believers, between people, as he does in talking about the enmity that it creates between us and God. He opens with this question, "What causes quarrels and fights among you?" And he tells us it's these desires, these passions at war within us. So I want to focus on that point in today's reading, that our sinful desires are usually the root causes. They're usually the root cause of fights and quarrels among Christians. And so this morning, I want us to do a practical spiritual exercise. I want you to think back to a time that you had a fight with another Christian. And unless we have lived very charmed lives, I think all of us have had such fights. Or at least some very strong disagreements with brothers or sisters in the church. Think back to such a time when you had a fight with another Christian. What I want you to consider this morning, what did you want during that fight? What were you after? What was your purpose in engaging in that encounter as a fight? What was going on in here? And look, this is part of what makes this a more difficult exercise to actually do than it is to describe. This is very much an easier said than done sort of thing. Right? It's easy to say, imagine a fight. All right, what were you thinking at the time? It's difficult to actually do that honestly. Because your sinful desires will urge you to dwell on what the other person's sinful desires must have been. So, well, we were only fighting because, and look, we are little kids all the way up until we die when it comes to this kind of stuff. I was only fighting because he started it. That person started. He did this or that because he was thoughtless, or selfish, or stubborn, or proud, or greedy. Right, well, she was doing this thing to me because she rejects authority. So he was only doing this thing because he's a raging misogynist and he hates to hear women speak. Right, we could fill in all kinds of blanks here. And any or all of those things might even be true, but they are entirely beside the point. That kind of thinking, right, what kinds of evil things must have been going on in the other person's heart, that kind of thinking is easy. It's also fruitless. And James condemns it anyway. At the end of our reading, chapter 4 and verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Look, it is easy to spend time being a judge. To be what James is describing here is a backseat judge. Right, we already have a judge. The real work of the Christian faith is being a doer of the law yourself. And it's so easy to exchange one thing for the other. To say that you're doing the hard work of the Christian faith by identifying everything that's going wrong in the other person. But you look at the way that James lays it out. If you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You spend so much time identifying all the evil in the other person, you're not spending any time identifying, let alone working on, the evil in yourself. You are no longer a doer of the law. So to come back to this exercise, if this exercise is going to do you any good, enter into it humbly, like James talks about in today's reading. What was going on in your heart that was so important that you had to fight about it? And your pride will want to say, or even if you manage to overcome that earlier bit of pride and bring the focus around to your heart, your pride is still going to be there, and it's still going to tell you, well, I was right, and they were wrong. And all I was doing was calling them out on their wrong. All I wanted was for them to see the truth. Right? As if we are some kind of precious little angel. So I was just saying what's right. They're the ones that had the problem. I didn't have the problem. Look, see how far you advance in the faith with that mindset, where you are always God's pristine, precious angel running into just these inexplicable troubles caused by all the people around you. See how far you advance in the faith like that. Even when we have good reason to disagree with a brother or a sister, even if there is some wrongdoing going on, and there is something that you need to say something about, our sinful desires stand ready, close at hand, ready to take over and lead us towards hell. Remember what John says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And furthermore, John says, we make God a liar if we make ourselves out to be just, oh, I'm just wholly innocent. And again, this is what makes this exercise potentially difficult. Because we don't want to examine our own motives honestly. But if we're ever going to discover and confront our passions, we have to examine our own motives honestly. And so perhaps, and again, there's all kinds of disagreements and fights out there. I can only speak in a limited way here. Perhaps you were angry because you felt the other person disrespected you. And you just want respect. People owe you respect, right? I mean, you respect other people. They ought to respect you. Or maybe you were afraid that the other person was going to accuse you of being a false brother, being a false Christian. You just want to keep a good name. You just want to be seen as the decent Christian you're trying to be. Or maybe you just simply wanted to be right. Maybe if it comes down to it, it's a matter of you're dead certain all the time that you're right. And if somebody else says something that implies that you're wrong, you can't handle that. Perhaps you just wanted to be seen as a good person. There's all kinds of motives that go on in the human heart. And some of these might sound really innocuous. Some of them just completely by themselves might even point to good things. Like, should you want to be seen as a good person? In a sense, yeah. The scriptures do talk about the importance of having a good name and, you know, shining your light, those kinds of things. In different contexts, applied differently, some of the motives that we have might even be good. But the adversary doesn't always show up in horns and a pitchfork. If these things cause fights and quarrels, they're not innocuous or good in those circumstances and applied in that way. If there is some motive in you that gets you in fights and quarrels, then it's what James is identifying here. Your passions are at war within you. Now, yeah, I can't tell you what's going on in your own heart. I can just give you some examples. Maybe try to suggest some directions to go. The real work lies in each one of us. Take the time to sit in quiet and think this one through. Really go back in your memory to the fight that you had. Take the time to think through what was going on in here that turned that encounter into a fight for you. And once we've discovered what are these passions going warring within me, once we've discovered that, then we can work on addressing it. And James gives us a solution to that. All right, our aim is to be friends of God and to be friends of each other. Our passions make us enemies of God and enemies of each other. And so what does James say to do? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. All right, this is obviously the solution to enmity with God, but it's also the solution to enmity with each other because the causes are one and the same. Both kinds of enmity are caused by the same thing. They're both fixed the same way. Friendship is maintained the same way. The solution is to humble ourselves before the Lord, to draw near to Him. And again, that's another thing that is easier said than done. Sometimes. There are a few things that we can do to draw near to the Lord. Of course, we need to be in the Word, learning about Him, learning about His ways. But as we read through this book, what's the one thing? Because we've got countless examples of people crossing back and forth between enmity and friendship with God and with each other in this book. As we read through this book, what's the one thing that we find people doing more than anything else to draw near to the Lord across all times and places? What's everybody do? They pray. More than anything else that we read in this book, people establishing, maintaining, building their relationships with the Lord, prayer. Prayer is a submissive act. Right, James talks about how God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. He talks about submitting ourselves to God, humbling ourselves before the Lord. Prayer is a submissive act. Read through the Psalms with that in mind sometime. You'll discover that it's true. The psalmists come before the Lord in submission to Him and to submit themselves to Him. To close this morning, before we offer the invitation, I want us to pray together a prayer for humility. And this prayer is going to focus on what James has been talking about, our desires. What's going on in here? What motives can be pushing us in wrong directions to be enemies with each other and enemies with God? And a lot of the things we're going to pray about, again, taken by themselves, can be good things. Right? We like to be loved. We like to be honored. We like to be approved. But set in the wrong context and misused, is applied selfishly, applied according to the wisdom that is earthly and unspiritual and demonic, even these ostensibly good things can be desires that lead us into enmity with God and enmity with other people. And so let us pray together. O Lord God, meek and humble of heart, hear our prayer. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, O Lord. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, O Lord. And from the desire of being approved, deliver me, Lord. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, O Lord. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Lord. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, O Lord. From the fear of being slandered, deliver me, O Lord. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Lord. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, O Lord. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Lord. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, O Lord. That others may be loved more than I, Lord, grant me the grace to desire that. That others may be esteemed more highly than I, Lord, grant me the grace to desire that. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Lord, grant me the grace to desire that.
that others may be chosen and I set aside? Lord, grant me the grace to desire that. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed. Lord, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Lord, grant me the grace to desire that. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. O Lord, grant me the grace to desire that. Cleanse and correct our hearts, O Lord, that our desires might be only for you and for your ways, that jealousy and selfish ambition might have no place in our hearts, that we might be protected against the schemes of the adversary. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. We invite everyone who is among us, if you are an enemy of God, to become a friend of God. Believe in the good news of Jesus. As God is extending his hand, God wants friendship with each of us. He gave his Son as a sacrifice for us. Believe in that good news. Turn away from sin. Right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James says. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins. If you've not done that, we invite you to do that today. If, having obeyed the gospel, you have gone on to make yourself an enemy of God and need the prayers of the congregation, or if you feel the need to confess anything, whatever your need may be, however we may help, we stand ready to do so. Whatever your need may be this morning, make it known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.